I'm stood with James Vasile. Where have you come from to be at Elevate?
I'm in from New York.
And what's your job in New York?
Well, what I'm doing here relates to the work in New York, and I'm the executive director of the Freedom Box Foundation. We make a small computer that you plug into your home network, and it takes action to protect you and your family and your friends, to protect your privacy, your security, your anonymity, and your freedom.
How does it do this?
It does this by identifying the ways in which we normally use the internet that centralize our communication, that take our data and our communication and put it in the hands of third parties, make it vulnerable to filtering and censorship and recording. And we take this data that we normally give to corporations and governments that they use to spy on us, and we take that data and instead we keep it to ourselves. And instead of giving a message to a third party who you don't trust to pass that message to your friend, you speak directly to your friends using the infrastructure that we provide. And if you and your friend talk directly to each other through encrypted means, secret means that no one else can look at, you can have true privacy.
In the eyes of the government, if everybody had one of these boxes, would they not see this as dangerous? Are people not drawing attention to themselves by using this kind of technology?
Yeah, I mean, if everyone were using this kind of technology, nobody would be drawing attention to themselves. We are giving to the people, the common people, the citizenry of the world, the same means of communication that the powerful currently have to talk to each other. We currently don't have any access to the conversations of the people who are spying on us, of the people who are listening to us, data mining us. There's no transparency. And all we are doing is giving everybody else the same conditions of communication that the powerful have right now.
So should I plug one of these boxes in my house, what would the internet look like to me?
The internet, ideally the internet would look very much the same, right? Your interfaces would look very much the same. You go to websites and the websites would look like they always look. What would happen though is we could remove all the ads. So you would see websites without the advertising. And the cookies that get deposited on your computer behind the scenes, the tracking cookies that allow them to uniquely identify you and record your behavior, we can reject those cookies so they don't get served. The unique fingerprint, that spread of information you create that trails you on the internet, that uniquely identifies you, we can mess with that a little bit. We can change it so that you don't look the same to your website every time you come, and so you can't be built as a profile where data can be accumulated about you over time. So by doing that, we can take your trail, your digital trail across the internet, and make it fuzzier, even make it meld into your neighbor's data so that you don't be so obvious to everyone else.
Will there be some websites out there that, because they demand you have these cookies running, suddenly not work?
Yeah, of course. And in those instances, you have a choice. You can choose to give them the cookies that they want and use their service, or you can choose not to. But at some point, you have the power. You have the ability to make that decision. Once you know that this website doesn't work unless you give it the information, you can decide, how much is my data worth to me? How much is my privacy worth to me? And what are they giving me in return for my privacy? And if you think it's worth it, you can use the website. Maybe you want to use Facebook because it's a vital way to talk to your friends and you want to give them your privacy. But if you don't, this tells you when your privacy is up for grabs and will allow you to make that choice for yourselves.
So how many freedom boxes have you let loose on the world as it is?
None. We are still in the design phase. So we've started building it. We have our first efforts at software happening right now. And over the next few months, we're going to be adding features, the features that I talked about. We have the technology to do it. The software works. We have to put it all in one box and make it work well together. And most importantly, the step that I think is most crucial is we have to make it so easy to use that people find it convenient to protect their privacy, so that people don't have to travel through a bunch of hoops, jump through a bunch of hoops in order to have anonymity or privacy or security or freedom. And if we can do that, we'll have something successful. Right now, I could give you a box that would do the things that I described, but you wouldn't use it because every day you would have to think a little bit about it. And the overhead of doing that would make it difficult for you to operate in the world as you normally do. So we want to reduce that overhead to as close to zero as possible so we can protect you without you having to spend a lot of energy protecting yourself.
There will be people who go, well, who's behind the Freedom Box? How do we know that this is 100% legit and there aren't any nefarious corps behind it? Is it a business?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So first of all, we are a nonprofit, but that's almost irrelevant. We're not asking people to trust us. every single bit of technology on this box, every single line of software code that is on this box is open. We are a free and open source software project, and everything we do is audited by other people. People look at the code and they decide whether or not to trust us. In fact, a lot of the software we're putting on the box is not stuff we create. Most of it is things that have been created by other people who care about privacy, other nonprofits, other free software projects, other privacy nuts who really want to protect you. They make good stuff. We just put it in one place. And if we did anything that would damage your privacy, somebody would notice very, very quickly. All the other privacy nuts who are sort of testing us and making sure that we stay honest would sound the alarm, because no one wants to use an untested thing. So there's a community of people who are going to make sure that everything we do stays as open and free as we claim it is. And if we don't, they'll complain about it. They'll let you know. They'll let us know. I mean, if we make a mistake that is insecure somehow, they'll let us know, and that'll give us a chance to fix it. So no, we don't ask you to trust us. We don't ask you even to rely on us. All of the technology we're building will work even if we disappear. Even if we decide to be malicious and attack you, we are trying to engineer things that we have no control over you, no ability to prevent you from communicating or to delve into your private business.
So the software itself is an open source project. How about the hardware? Are you willing to have that made in kit form across the world?
So we decided that this is a hard enough problem to solve as a software project, and that hardware is harder even than software for hacking. There's a huge community of people who can hack software wherever, but hardware is difficult. And we identified a manufacturer who makes boxes currently, just generally useful computers, and they're tiny little plug computers called the Dream Plug. They're made by a company called GlobalScale. And we're working with that company to give them our software for them to install on the box, and they will sell those boxes to people who want to acquire them. We have been having a dialogue with GlobalScale about the openness of the box and about giving people information about what's on the box, and they are a company that so far has seemed rather willing to work with our desire for information and work with the community's desire for information. So we think that the boxes will be open in the sense that you will know what is on them, and they will be open in the sense that the software that controls the parts in the box are free and open source software, so you can change that and you can change the way it's controlled. But we're not going to build our own boards and boxes. That would be, I think, too big a hurdle at this point in time.
Well, my appetite is well and truly whetted. What kind of time scale and how much?
Right now, we're probably in the first phases of feature development, and we're months away from having real features. I think we're probably 9 months away from having something that I would say is really easy to use. And the price point for this is interesting. There's a box that you could run this on called the Shiva Plug that costs about $90. There's the Dream Plug, which is the latest model that is nicer looking and has better heat management, but doesn't actually do anything different, and that's $140. But I think by the time this is really ready, a year or two from now, the cost of the hardware to run this will drop into the $60 to $70 range, and I think at that price point, it becomes rather compelling.
Definitely. I'm really excited. If I want to find out more, or anybody listening wants to find out more, where can people go?
Freedomboxfoundation.org. We have information about how to contribute, how to join, how to get involved in the process of creation. This is a community-based project. We're not going to try to do this for you. We want to do this with you.
James, thank you very much.
Thank you.